This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. While universities are working to prevent sex crimes and shape fair policies to address reports of assaults, there are programs that work directly with the victims, helping them deal with the trauma and providing advocacy support and options for safety. Here to talk about these programs are Executive Director of Ohio Alliance to End Sexual Violence, Katie Hanna, Vice President of Programming at Women Helping Women, Kendra Massey, and Chief Title IX Officer at Xavier University's Title IX Office, Kate Lawson. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Katie, back, boy, this is going to be confusing. Katie and Kendra, there I got it. Katie and Kendra, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Mark.
Katie, let's have you start out by telling us about the Ohio Alliance to End Sexual Violence. What's your organization's mission? What are its goals?
Sure. So the Ohio Alliance to End Sexual Violence is a statewide sexual assault coalition. So our focus is on preventing sexual violence and ensuring that survivors have the support that they need. So we're a statewide coalition that works closely with all the rape crisis centers. So obviously Kendra, who's on from Women Helping Women. And one of the initiatives that we're working on right now is the Ohio Department of Higher Education's Changing Campus Culture Initiative. So through that initiative, actually today, we have our final prevention training at Kent State University, and we have all the campuses from Northeast Ohio there today and tomorrow, really focusing on preventing sexual violence.
You think there's an increasing awareness? We were talking earlier about why do people suddenly notice and see this increase in sexual assaults on campus? And we were talking about, is it because we're more aware of it, or is it because there are actually more assaults going on? What do you think about that? Is awareness going up on this issue?
So awareness is certainly going up. Unfortunately, we've had a lot of high-profile cases that have caught the media's attention. And I think any time that happens, that can be really difficult for those survivors in those cases. But I will say we've had such tremendous commitment and support from policymakers, from institutional leaders that are paying attention to these issues and saying, we're all here together and we want to stop this epidemic. And so I think it's important for people to know that sexual violence has been happening at high rates as far as time goes back. And so this isn't a new issue. I think what's new is we have so many people that are really joining the fight to make sure that we end this epidemic.
Kendra, what are your thoughts on that? Are you seeing more and more awareness of the issue of sexual violence on campus?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely hearing about it more, I think, with social media and with some of these more high-profile cases. I think it is. It's more known, and people are talking about it more. I don't think it's necessarily that it's happening more.
So tell me about your organization now, Women Helping Women, and the goals and the mission of that organization.
Yes. So Women Helping Women is the local rape crisis agency for Hamilton and Butler counties. We serve Southwest Ohio. We also offer services to survivors of domestic violence, intimate partner violence, and stalking in Hamilton County. And so our mission really is to support all survivors. And I think it's important to make the distinction because our name makes it a little unclear, but we're not just all women and we don't just serve female survivors. We do serve all survivors of any gender identity who have experienced sexual assault, intimate partner violence, or stalking. And then the other part of our mission is really to do education in the community around prevention and also education to social service providers, community partners, community members in general on what these issues look like, what they are, how to best support survivors, because we know with the survivors that we work with, the support that they get or the response that they get from the people around them really impacts their ability to move forward and their ability to heal. And so we want the community at large to be a community of support to survivors. So we do education around that as well.
Mm-hmm. Katie, how much of an impact does sexual assault have on the victims? What are the challenges they face?
Yeah, so for, you know, a lot of times we hear across the state for the rape crisis centers, you know, survivors of sexual violence may not come forward until, say, 20 or 30 years later. And oftentimes what people share is that the first person that they told maybe didn't believe them. And that can have such a difficult impact on people. We know that there are really difficult healthcare outcomes for survivors, so chronic health issues that can extend throughout their lifetime. And so, you know, when we think about the level of trauma that people face, if they don't get the support that they need in that first moment, in that first response, it can have negative implications in terms of, one, just reaching out for support to go to an agency like Women Helping Women, and then two, for telling people and making sure that they get the support through the criminal justice system or the university process to address those offenders and make sure that they're accountable for what they did.
Can I just add, I mean, I think, Katie, as you're talking, it really reveals so much to me that the opportunity that campus communities have. I think one of the reasons that we're one of the good pieces of there being such a spotlight on this issue is this increase in reports. But it's also not just an increase in I'm going to report to the police or I'm going to, report to Title IX, which are sort of official paths, but seeking all sources of support, including, as I said earlier, confidential advocacy to really have that space to say, this is the impact this has had on me. What are my choices? And that choice may be not to report, but instead to say, I want to do my healing and my recovery in a different way. You know, I think the national conversation is so much about like report, which, look, I want students to come forward as much as the next person. I really do. I want to respond to sexual violence. And I want to make sure that we acknowledge that so much focus on reporting, we don't really acknowledge that reporting, once you've done it, can be very difficult, even under the best of circumstances. I want that to happen, but I also want the community to understand that it's a very difficult process to report. And the more we can shore up through collaboration, frankly, which I hope we can talk a little bit about. So I collaborate quite a bit with Women Helping Women, quite a bit with the Ohio Alliance. That's how we start to create real culture change as opposed to, compliance, which at Xavier, I really try to drive our efforts and our collaboration with the community to move the needle on the issue and less about, am I compliant? The truth is that the compliance will follow if you're moving towards culture change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that piece about not pressuring people to report is so important, because with sexual assault, what we see is it's an issue of someone's power, their control being taken away from them. So if people who respond to that survivor really are saying you have to report or you have to do this or you have to do that, it's just one more person taking control away. So what we focus on at Women Helping Women is how can we give power back to them? How can we empower them to make whatever decisions best for them? And maybe initially it's not reporting, maybe it is. What we'll see sometimes is people need a little bit of time to heal and to process, and then they may want to report it later, or they may not. And I think the most important thing is their healing and their ability to move forward.
Can I give a really concrete example of this? So I have the great privilege of co-chairing Cincinnati's task force to reduce campus gender-based violence with the CEO of Women Helping Women, Kristen Shrimplin. So we're co-chairing that effort, which has community members from Cincinnati Police Department to prosecutor's office to the other area schools to the Sexual Assault Nurse Examiner Program, all of the folks who sort of have a stake in this, if you will, or who interact with survivors. And one of the things we talk about or are trying to collaborate around is we know that there are very low prosecution rates of acquaintance sexual violence cases. One of those reasons is because it's a very difficult process to go through. Now, in this situation, what I'm trying to sort of communicate in that setting, in that collaborative space, is one of the reasons that a student may not be able to be a good or effective witness in a criminal case is because they may have been sexually assaulted in their dorm room where they are still living. The person who is accused of the sexual assault may be in their biology class. How could anyone participate in a criminal process if they were having safety, housing, and academic issues, sort of the fundamental areas of their life, or the kinds of trauma impact that Katie mentioned, health issues, mental health issues, post-traumatic stress disorder, so anxiety, depression, it goes on and on. So one of the things we're trying to do on the task force is to say, in our collaboration with, for example, prosecutors, would be to say, hey, listen, your case might go a lot smoother if you loop me in with a Xavier student who's struggling around academics, housing, safety. That's my job fully, to support that person in those areas. And if we can shore up those fundamental areas, privacy, housing, safety, mental health, housing, et cetera, then that person may be in a much better position potentially to continue in a criminal process if that's the process they want to go down.
We will continue our conversation, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guest this afternoon, Executive Director of Ohio Alliance to End Sexual Violence, Katie Hanna, Vice President of Programming at Women Helping Women, Kendra Massey, and Chief Title IX Officer at Xavier University's Title IX Office, Kate Lawson. You can join us at 513-419-7100. And Katie, before we went to the break, you wanted to add something into what Kate was saying, right?
Sure. So, you know, I think the Title IX is such a critical process for student survivors. You know, in addition to the criminal justice system, we hear so many people saying we need to put everything into the criminal justice system and not have campuses deal with this issue. And what's important about the campus system is that it does those things like Kate was talking about, is that when a student is sexually assaulted, that they can have class accommodations. So if they need to take off time from classes or an exam, if they need to move their housing, they can have all those things set up in addition to having a no-contact order so that they feel safe on campus, because the whole point of Title IX is to make sure that when a student goes to a school that they're able to access their education free from sexual violence. And so we want to see both of these systems in place because they do two very different things and they're so supportive for survivor healing.
Now, Katie, it's interesting that You talk about ending sexual violence in the name of your group, the Ohio Alliance to End Sexual Violence. And just how achievable is that goal?
You know, we believe that sexual violence prevention and ending sexual violence is possible. You know, part of that is about starting early and at a younger age. So we encourage parents to talk with their kids about healthy relationships. There's a statewide campaign called Be the One, and it can be accessed at icanbetheone.com. And that provides some tools and tips, and there will be additional materials added throughout the summer and fall about how you can engage in those really difficult and hard conversations. There's also a policy, House Bill 85, that was introduced and passed the Ohio House. And what that would do, if it passed the Senate, would be to require sexual violence prevention education in grades K through 12. Because in order to prevent sexual violence, we need to start those conversations at a much earlier age.
Mm-hmm. Kendra, what are some areas you see as being things that can be done to reduce and fight and even put an end to violence, sexual violence?
Yeah, well, I think it's such a large issue. I think it's doable. It has to be done on sort of this multi-spectrum approach, which is what we're doing at a state level and what we're doing at Women Helping Women. And I know universities are working on that too. But on an individual level, teaching students, teaching youth, what does consent really look like and what does it mean? Teaching the bystander intervention, addressing common myths that exist around rape that are often very victim-blaming. On a community level, maybe it's like a media campaign around addressing those myths related to sexual violence, because it's important that people understand the issues, they understand as individuals how to prevent them, but also their communities around them are supporting those messages that they're getting. So like at Women Helping Women, we do programming in local middle and high schools where we teach youth about healthy and unhealthy relationships, about what consent is. We talk about bystander intervention, but then we also do a social media campaign geared towards youth where we're sort of reinforcing those messages. It's important also that at an organizational level, so that schools have policies that support all those things that we're teaching, so that if there's, say, sexual harassment happening, they're responding to that in a really proactive way.
So there's a lot that the individuals can do.
Yeah, there's a lot that individuals could do. And then even workplaces, universities, at a policy level, it has to be this sort of multi-spectrum approach. But I think from an individual level, it's how can we educate ourselves about the issue? What can we do even among our peer groups, whether that's speaking out to interrupt someone who makes a disrespectful comment or makes a joke about rape? It's about changing these cultural norms that support this type of violence.
Yeah, I agree with that, Kendra. And I think what I would add, one of the messages I try to talk to Xavier students about and with, and then encourage them to speak to each other is, right? I mean, from my perspective, the greatest tool that people who perpetrate gender-based violence and in particular sexual violence for this conversation have is the silence of the community mm-hmm. around both the victim and then around the potential perpetrator. So they count on us to be silent, to look the other way, to say this is not my problem or it only happens to X, Y, and Z. That allows people to feel more comfortable, right? It's a very uncomfortable reality, who this happens to, who it happens by. why and what are the circumstances. I think one of the Stanford case really broke that open for some people. Like, wow, I hadn't realized that like a affluent young white man who had a lot of talent and was very charming maybe in his life outside of this horrible crime, that's uncomfortable reality to look at. And I think people work very hard to keep the scope of this issue as tight as possible, because that allows us to go about our lives without having to change anything. So I agree with Katie Ann Kender that it is possible to end sexual violence. I think we have a long road ahead. But over the last 5 years, I think about what we've accomplished, and particularly here in Cincinnati around campus communities and the collaboration between the partners, for example, on the task force. And I think about what's this going to look like 10 years from now, and really have a lot of hope around, especially Cincinnati's ability, given the relationships we've built here.
Let's talk with Jerry. Good afternoon, Jerry. Hello, Jerry. Are you there? Okay, it sounds like we've lost Jerry there, but she did want to thank you for bringing awareness to this issue. And I guess that's a key thing, isn't it, Kate, is raising that awareness level, and Kendra and Katie, that's what you're really working hard toward.
Absolutely. I mean, without an awareness of the issue, which is a lot of different components just in that statement, not just from students, but staff and faculty sort of in my world, and then also family systems and social systems, it has to be awareness across the board, and not just like, hey, this issue exists, but really being authentic about what it is and what it means, and awareness about what one individual can do to impact the issue positively, again, to decrease perpetration and to increase survivors accessing support, whatever that looks like for them.
Yeah, because I think if someone sees a survivor come forward and they get a really supportive response, I think probably people seeing the outrage at the Stanford rape case, like, that's a really positive thing. It shows that people care. More survivors are likely to come forward. And in fact, I just was reading an article last night where survivors were sharing their statements publicly because they saw this one really brave survivor who did that. So I think the more we can build the awareness, we can talk about it, we can make our community safe spaces for survivors to come out and share, I think that's certainly a good thing.
Well, thanks everybody for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Executive Director of Ohio Alliance to End Sexual Violence, Katie Hanna, Vice President of Programming at Women Helping Women, Kendra Massey, and Chief Title IX Officer at Xavier University's Title IX Office, Kate Lawson.